And the support that they put in the area around the between Malalele and Kwai.
That facility is sitting there. They can't maintain it. There's no sporting activity happening there. There's nothing happening at that location. So when you look at those kind of facilities, you ask yourself, is this the kind of the norm and standard that has been defined as a basic, or is it a roadway? And if it is a roadway, do we have other revenue generating activity in the municipality that will be able to fund the maintenance of this particular roadway? So, Honorable Chair, I just wanted to add into the complexities that we face, especially regarding the policy mismatch that we found as we were dealing with the implementation of the program.
We're starting to be a weak load when you get late in the meeting. I'm always to be the first one to sit here. Today we had about 2 accidents on the road. And I was worried that even our whip is in where I'm coming from. My apology. This is not the norm of this committee. We always be on time. It was beyond maybe our... It was a nature, because no one is inviting the weather accident. With that note, I'm saying thank you to honorable members. I'm apologizing. I was saying also, I can say, I do welcome you as a department, and then I was wondering, I've seen one of the sons of this national parliament sitting as a visitor, and I was hearing that it happened that I know him that has been in the national treasure. How can a national treasure be a visitor? Why should we be debating such important things? Thank you that come front. We do welcome you and think that we are present in this meeting. As the agenda indicated what do we want as this committee, I'm suspecting through your presentation and through the information that we did get, I was hoping to have this meeting when I was reading your presentation in my email. I was saying that, God, let this day come in order that we must clarify things. As this committee, we have this intention to talk to you, especially after our oversight that we have been taking in this new parliament. We started to the Limpopo Malanga recently. Were from even keeping housing. And correctly so, as you are saying that we have this problem of a policy which is not, I'm thinking that things are really easier. They know that where they are saying that this amount is responsible for this, will tell us, are we wrong when we are saying we are supporting that? The challenges are there in our 15% MIC fund. When we showed that as a committee was supporting the issue that we should be brought back under administration of the Department of Sports and Recreation. That's the main aim of this committee. And through your presentation, I've seen we are confirming some of things that we are thinking that they are not in the norms and standards in the PMSA, what it is saying. But fortunately, treasure, sometimes we are thinking that you don't sometimes allow about our proposals. You will assist us today, Because if today Okopta is saying what we have been feeling as this committee, and let's come to a conclusion, what do we want? And if 21 years, what just 21 years, when we're coming to this committee, we're saying that 15% of INEC is not doing what it's supposed to do for this sport. What does that mean? With those words, this is not a meeting of not listening to each other. This is a meeting that we seek solutions. And as the proposed level of recommendation, we do have our recommendation as this committee of sport. And really, I'm happy that Uteja today is with us in the office, because this thing is a soft point to us as this committee, especially with the department. So, with those words, honorable members, this is the time to engage with the presentation. Mm-hmm. Presentation is clear. And then, may I take hands? Honorable Bechme, Honorable Malak, Honorable Abrams, Honorable Shlomo, Honorable Musi, Honorable Malana, Honorable Ralechom, I'm very sure about my voice. Thank you.
Yeah, we wish you best, and maybe you should rest your voice, because I know you've been traveling a lot and they've been keeping you busy. I mean, a different weather climate, so we just wish you better and it works better. I think what, you know, starting from what you're saying, Jay, in terms of who should be overseeing the MIG grant where we can, in terms of sports and recreation, I think it's important to note that in our oversight visits, and you mentioned it in the presentation, one of the biggest problems is you see this capital expenditure, but then this inability to keep up with operational expenditure of it. So you see a newly donated netball court or tennis court, and 3 years later there's roots and grass growing out of it, or it's just it's too expensive to maintain. Now, I know that the Sports Trust is working with a multi-purpose court that's guaranteed for a lifetime. You know, that type of project is something that we should be rolling out. I'm not sure how we do it through procurement and how we do it, you know, with the Municipal Finance Management Act. But one of the, when I was a ward councillor in one of the areas, we had a multi-purpose centre. Now, a lot of the community wanted to burn the multi-purpose centre down because they couldn't find the benefits to the multi-purpose centre. Then we introduced different functions to the multi-purpose centre. Now, if you had a multi-purpose centre with the multi-purpose court that could double up as a health facility, an education facility, a sports facility, a social facility, you could share the resources, the personnel would be shared. You don't have to go hire per department, you could actually hire through the municipality and one person can do the job of five other people or whatever to try and bring down this cost. But what I'm trying to get at is because through COPTA it would be more convenient to be multi, you know, have the multi-stakeholders, it's probably more pertinent for us to play an oversight role on COPTA as well, or a joint role with COPTA. So when they're deliberating around the MIG expenditure on the sports section as proposed, we possibly have a far more, you know, far more input that we're there on the planning stage from the start. I definitely second the resolution that we need as SRSA to undertake a full audit from a ward level. It wouldn't be anything, nothing less would be more useful than us going straight down to ward level. On a ward level, we need to account for the facilities that are there, the state of the facilities, what those facilities are being used for, and that should happen as quickly as possible so that next MIG grant meeting, they already know what we've got and what we don't have. Now, the responsibility of it, of course, should probably fall under the municipality who, through their ward-based planning, should have already got this information. So I think in the interest of time and quality, we try and liaise directly with municipalities. But from our side, a lot of our hampering has been that we just sell there. We go through the province and then we just sell there as our conduit for the municipalities. But I believe that Salga is letting us down in a strong sense. Whatever Salga tells us when we go there, we just need to find different stories. And I'd really like to think that for us to be successful as a committee, we must engage directly with the municipalities for who are oversized, and less for Salda. And we often find that on these oversized, we sit there, and Salda acts like, why didn't you talk to us first? But where was Salda in the last 20 years when, you know, before our oversized visit? So I really do believe that we need to now go straight, pierce the Salda veil and go straight to the municipalities and find out our own pictures on the ground. Again, I just want to reiterate that the incentives and the penalties, we need to look at that, because I think you have to incentivize good work, and we have to penalize. You look at Mpumalanga, you look at the Northern Cape. Those are probably the two communities that need basic infrastructure the most, and yet they're the two communities that don't spend their MIG grants on what it's intended for. So somewhere along the line, you don't want to penalize that, because you want the residents to enjoy some form of infrastructure. But our penalties might be in the form of an administration, but they have to be supervised by Boxer or by Sports and Recreation, something to that effect, where we can't just let them carry on, because for every year that they delay in spending on infrastructure, you can imagine catching up in terms of both on an operational level and on a capital level, the delays will both cause and cost.
Thanks, Jack. I mean, I've got two observations, and largely informs my question is, I mean, the lack of adequate spending or overall spending with regards to MD is a broader reflection of the capacity levels at the municipal level. But it seems to be the easiest thing to to override and rededicate resources that are in their power, because the priorities and the need for sports facilities is underrated, because these facilities, you know, the presence of sport and creation facilities is crucial, mostly in provinces that are predominantly rural and country, because they provide the form of alternatives to mostly young unemployed people to keep them busy. And, you know, which is why often the frustration when there are service delivery protests and there are extensive strikes that are done, that you know, the most likely targets of destruction are often other facilities than sporting facilities. And that also speaks, you know, to the complexity of the dynamics that are in there. But I'm curious about efforts for interventions to reverse this, because, you know, as the first presenter indicated, and it's something that we've been aware of, is that there are various role players involved, you know, in all of this, you know, from the Department of Sports to the respective municipalities and the department. But the bottom line is, all of those countries, what happens when it is spotted that there isn't sufficient spending when it occurs? Because the acknowledgement now is something that is obvious to everyone who has heard this case, is that there isn't appetite for spending, you know, and the appetite is often to redirect the cost. So I just want to know, from COPTA's side, within the parameters of your framework, you know, and the limitations you have, what efforts have you initiated to ensure that, you know, there is compliance with the spending requirements? Because you have done the issue of capacity, which, you know, was baffling to me, but I do acknowledge that, you know, that might be prevalent in municipalities who have no clue whatsoever what contributes to sports or a recreation facility. But be that as it may, in COPTA's oversight role, you know, when does COPTA Sport is checked and when can it intervene? And ultimately, as Mr. Steady indicated, citing the example of Mpumalanga, under those circumstances, what is the recourse, you know, that can be done? And I'm sure in this case that your engagement with Treasury can be useful. But I think the other thing, you know, that often doesn't get considered, particularly with underused facilities, is the allocation. You know, and that is often an area of dispute and huge controversy between, you know, the municipality and communities. And I'm glad you cited the example of the now Beckman Stadium in Malamulele, and between Malamulele and Vianen, because the location was a source of dispute between the community and the municipality instantly, but also access to it, because, you know, to have a facility is one thing, to keep it in the condition that it remains conducive for use over time is another thing, because it requires now, you know, increased budget in terms of maintenance and understanding. And I think in there, you know, the role of the community is useful, but more often than the case is, you know, the process of sharing what the extent of the funding with communities is often skewed, and as a result, these projects are often, you know, contractively imposed with some level of community endorsement that doesn't contribute to one community consultation in terms of where this facility should be finished.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and I hope also get better. We don't want the 6 years, as you know, you're very interested. Yes. Mine is like you mentioned community participation in IDP. There are many areas, for instance, the rural areas and even urban. Communities participate with the IDP, but they're not really aware what they are participating with. They say that's a wish list and say they want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So how would one be able to you know, facilitate to the community and say that they need states that this is what they want with next time, because communities, some of them don't understand how the budget works, and they just like they have a wish list of what they'd like to see, and that's why you may find that in certain areas they'll have other priorities, but when we like for instance do oversight, they would scream aloud and say that they would want a facility. My other question also relates to the auditing. You mentioned that it's not easy to audit because there's so many things to count, but what other means to do to audit, because we do need to have an audit. In the SRFA audit was done in 2015 March. I've seen that in Gauteng province, instance, information outdated and stored in an Excel spreadsheet. Now, how do you communicate with these different municipalities and find out, you know, like the previous speakers mentioned, that it should be done on municipal level, but how do you communicate when, for instance, you ask for more money and they haven't accounted for what they've done in the previous financial year? On slide number 9, just some clarity there. 88 projects, what kind of projects were implemented? For instance, 433 billion in Gauteng province versus 286 in the Free State for 813 million. What types of project ranges? Is it like a stadium, a sports field? That's why the amount is so vast. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please welcome the presentation. It's an eye-opener to a number of our positions. My thing would be this lack of participation by the sports and recreation. And I would really appreciate the workshop that you spoke about that is coordinated and including the sports and recreation. Because without us, therefore, it means that the sports and recreation will be left behind. Again, in the areas, like in the urban areas, a multi-purpose type of this thing. I think I agree with Honourable Beckman to say it could be necessary so that those you know, certain communities can benefit in whatever they are saying is. And I do not hear much about the school, you know, the sports in this this report, because we are very much even if it's rural or whatever, there is no school. Even in the most rural areas, they do not need sporting facilities like these. And I really think that in the end, it is very, very necessary to have this workshop which is inclusive of both the municipality and the sports and recreation process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, person. I've got some few questions that I went through. To propose to the presentation or to include in the presentation. My first question, sir, I've been trying to communicate with the research here, trying to establish as to who exactly should ensure that the sector department in municipalities is established. That's my number one question. Number two question, sir, person is I actually get it very strange to hear that a local government, a municipality, would not know exactly, you know, which facility to rehabilitate or which place they, you know, sort of to build a new facility or where the facility is required. It's very strange to me. I don't know how that would happen. I just would really see it as a dereliction of duty. My second question, Chairperson, is that in most cases, councillors, because in the presentation you indicated that communities should take part in the, you know, the establishment of, you know, what is it that they would like to have, you know, as far as sport is concerned. But I'm saying I've seen it and it happened in several cases where the community would mandate a councillor to say to a councillor that, look, this is what we need. But a councillor would go to the municipality, and once at the municipality, that would change because he would get into the chamber or the council where the municipality have, you know, its long-term priority. And then it is not like communities do not take part in these things. They do take part. I would like to hear your comment on that. And then I would also want to know your role as HOCTA. Like you indicated, it's more of an oversight. It's more of the how part of it. Both in planning, you indicated that administration and in implementation, that's what you indicated. But I want to check with you. When you oversight on that and you see that, you know, there is no proper planning or there was planning, implementation failed, what is it that you do thereafter? And in the presentation, it is not coming out clear of the geographic location of the facilities. If you can just name specific locations of facilities for our purpose as a portfolio committee so that we go into our oversight. You also indicated something like the NIC 2, which I still would need to get your clarity on it. I would also want you to relate it to USDG, because you spoke of cities when you spoke of NIC 2. You also indicated that rural municipalities do not spend much on sports. What is it that you do as COPT? What is your advice on that? And then thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, let me just welcome your presentation. Of course, it's a good one because I can see they do align with these NRLP things. So, but what they left behind, Chairperson, COPTA introduced a document that basic. I haven't seen anything that talk about sports in the basic, back to basic document. So when we look at this NLG 15%, we are talking about that 15% according to the 53rd resolution, that is for to facilitate investment in sports and recreation infrastructure. Since we know exactly that sports plays a key important role in promoting the social cohesion. Chairperson, my question is that how often do they meet with the SRSA to monitor the implementation of this proposal that is being made? The recent conference between the SACOC SALGA highlighted the challenges of municipality to implement the 15%. How is COPTA dealing with these challenges to assist municipalities? COPTA needs to assist municipalities in the 15% MIG funding to conduct facilities audits. Is there a provision of funds to do that? And the last question, Chairperson. SRSA has always indicated that they want to get sport facilities, facility grant back to the department. How have they do these consultations so far? And I think also, Chairperson, what you must look at, the municipalities does have a councillors who are responsible for this community development. I don't know whether it's the transversal issues, if they put that in the sports and recreation in the transitional issues or the community development. But some of the councillors, I doubt that they do have a passion with which part. That's where it starts. Because they just live in, if they can travel to the council, they take everything and divert this money to other issues like water and sanitation. Unfortunately, in my province, that 1% is it's something which I'm not happy about it. Because if we look at the 53rd resolution, when they talk about this water and recreation, that it must be also prioritized. If they take all 50% and direct it to water and sanitation, it's so painful to our communities, those who participate in sports, because when they do the IDP, I always say the sports people or the players or any sporting coach needs to participate in the IDP so that they can raise this issue of 15% MIG. Thank you.
You, Chairperson. I also welcome the presentation by Compta, and I think it has been an eye opener for ourselves because we have had you school. So for me, I think we might have to concentrate on two areas. To make a mark towards the challenge that we are facing. The first one is the challenges around the audit of facilities. So my take is that we have to just push very hard the department to really finalize this issue so that we can know where we'll be moving from. Because at the moment, I mean, it's a serious, serious challenge. And I'm happy that COGTA has also seen that as a major gap. The second area that I think we must try to come up with ways to can ensure that we make a difference is around the planning processes of municipalities, because quite clearly, I mean, if we are going to ensure that the sporting bodies that we have, that we interact with, can begin ensuring that they participate seriously in the IDP processes, the issues of sports and recreation will be taken seriously, or they won't be part of the budget, because municipalities, that is how they do budgeting. They must be directly influenced by communities. And then I've got just two questions, because from your presentation, 15% doesn't come out quite clearly that this is referenced for sport and recreation, because the presentation, the broad feedback in terms of the recent allocation is about 7 point something billion, but it is not all going to sport and rec. So I just want to confirm, because we were under the impression that the 50% ring first is for sport and rec, but it would appear that no, it's for the key component of the meat, because you've got different categories. So I just want confirmation. But I thought it would have been useful to also touch on the urban settlement development grant. Because our understanding is that is mainly for metros, so that we should have an understanding as well. So I thought that those areas for me are key, so that we can have a better focus
on what to do, and how to be our oversight.
Let me take this opportunity to thank members. Also, I was trying to look at the desk. I don't see anyone from the Department of Sport and Recreation. They used to be part of us. If honorable members still remember when late called Ginetso. Ginetso will always be with us. I'm raising this cause today for the first time we're hearing that the department is not active with multi-sectoral discussion. And it was not our understanding. That's why they did come and we supported this move of the fencing. So if it's like that, we'll take it with us to check what's the problem. How are we going to achieve some of things that you would love to see? But it doesn't mean that if they are not there, you don't represent the people of South Africa. That you take it upon yourselves that in need fund must be taken to support in the municipalities. If we are South Africans, that you know that sport, we cannot achieve its social cohesion without sport. And if you still remember 2010, we have seen how sport unified people of South Africa. If now, until today, we have, which we do appreciate, have this proposal. Yes, cannot achieve if the sister departments are not with you, but you have got a role. Usalga is here. We're not going to say won't interact with Usalga because it's a part of the government structure. We need to tell you that, try to check, and that's what time that Usalga must know its role. We're not saying that they don't know their role, but Usalga need to be strengthened as well as the department. This information is very important for us. But if together we cannot prioritize this need to fund, we've seen shame in our special rural areas, that even urban areas, facilities who are there, they do have money redirected to municipal to take care of facilities of the structures that are already built there. But now we'll get that they are dilapidated, those structures, but we have a money that the municipality is supposed to take care. If I know this question is in Mpumalanga, one other member who's sitting with us in the social cluster was so furious with us as a committee when we were saying that, why are you taking in fund to water services? Where is the budget for water if now when you want facilities to be looked at and then you redirect? We love that that Uplati, you must contribute and you must assist in this discussion. What do you do when funds are allocated to do ADC and they will be using 1%, 5% of the 15%? What does that mean to our government? With those words, the presentation, we do accept it. And in some instances, it's an eye-opener because we've noticed some things that we were not aware. But it was this committee that said, we cannot go about without calling you to come and enlighten us. So we do appreciate the gaps. We all need to be look at it and have time frames what you are thinking that come end of this term that will be serving in this committee. We must have a mark. We must change things. 21 years down the line, we still have proposals that I don't know when did we realize that something is wrong with this MIG fund. So we must not take so long to realize and recognize that the monies that are supposed to be used in ABC are not. So it must be our own responsibility and role to improve on that. Those words, Emna, I'll be saying that, can you entertain to ask your questions? You have the right to raise your hand, Mr. Blood. We need your contribution to that. Thanks. Any intake from the department? Thank you.
Mr. Adrian Rich will start and then I will just deal with the CP.
Just an issue of clarity to the mental health thing. You were speaking about a list of colleagues. I didn't get the list of the number of, you're referring to something.
39,
sorry, it's from the...
Yes?
The 88 projects.
Yes, 88 projects were supported.
Sorry, okay. And who is it in
26? And then it's important to know. I just want to know what sort of products, how they were.
Gauteng versus Free State. Okay, fine. Gauteng, so the 88 projects in so both Free State and Gauteng, they are already having the ability to have dealt with many of their water and sanitation backlogs. So the communities have started to prioritize other investment requirements. The next investment requirements from our analysis is roads. So that's the next best thing to spend NIC money on is on roads. Both instances, the different municipalities is not the Water Service Authority. All the money goes to the local municipality. So all the prioritizing takes place within the local municipality. And what we're seeing, it tends to be towards roads. There are some pockets of still investment of water and sanitation, but the predominant category for both in both areas is roads.
Just perhaps before he passes there, I think the amount is not 453 billion, it's 453 million.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you will see that it's proportionally almost the same in the sense that Gauteng is receiving half the amount of Free State in terms of the allocations generated through the formula, and the type of projects is roads predominantly, followed by water and sanitation as well as the double for certain focus. Remember, NIC grant also supports the housing program, not dealing with bulk infrastructure for existing areas, but also the bulk infrastructure for greenfield developments. And because those are the areas we're predominantly starting to do the greenfield developments, especially Gauteng, the new program is supporting those type of projects. Then the issue about the urban, the USDG grant, remember, the USDG grant is administered by the Department of Human Settlements, not by the Department. But I assume that during each year, it has got, at one point in time, they've got not individual programs, but matters submit a program to the Department of Human Settlements, of which sports and recreation should be articulated within the program of projects. So that is the point of interjection, I would assume, going into overseeing that process. The new program is based on individual projects. The UTG program is it's one grant to a metro and then to submit a program expression with regard to how they want to spend the money. Sure, a lot of questions from the
let me take the questions of the members, because I think I was trying to write them to members. Honorable Chair, you pardon me for the honorable member's name. I wrote Honorable Bergman, is that correct? Yeah, Honorable Bergman, I want to agree with you in terms of the role that municipalities might play in getting the multi-purpose sports facilities to be effective. the key component when we say it also funds community amenities, we're also including your social service centers, where you have quite a number of departments that are operating in the tourism service center, where you will have your the office that is dealing with issues of home affairs, the office that is dealing with labor issues, UIF, and then you have a hall where they can do quite a number of multifaceted sporting facilities. And in the initial design of the tourism service center, we had said that the management of that center should rest with the municipality so that they can look at the maintenance of that particular facility. Now, the incentive and penalties, it becomes very difficult because MIG is not a fast and hard issue of saying, when you say you have 75% that should go to water and sanitation, it means the municipalities will use the total 75% of the allocation in water and sanitation. As long as they've used the money to deal with the basic services and the backlogs that have been identified in that municipality, then you can't penalize them. That is one of the challenges that we have with the way the MIG is done. If you can go away from the fee component and you go to the other components like your M component and your E component, those components, municipalities might decide to say what is it that we should do because it's not defined. We came to a realization sometime that certain municipalities in the country were receiving less than 5 million rand. And we will say, if you are receiving less than 5 million rand as a municipality, because of the formula, we negotiated with Treasury that those municipalities that are receiving less than 5 million should receive at least 5 million so that they can deal with other matters. So that's the issue where we have a challenge around the incentive question. The issue of SALGA, I don't want to really comment much on SALGA because SALGA is a voluntary organization. If you look at the evolution of SALGA, there was a time where you had two organizations representing local government. Now, municipalities join SALGA. If the municipality does not join SALGA, the committee still has the responsibility to oversight the activities of that municipality which has not joined SALGA. So those are some of the... It's only that in South Africa you have all those municipalities being members of SALGA. That's why SALGA deal with issues of membership. Honorable Malazi, the issue of capacity. I think, Honorable Chair, we need to be honest here. The issue of capacity is not only at the municipal stage. It's also at the sector level. What we are saying here is that, firstly, you need to sort out the capacity at the Department of Sports and Recreation so that when they engage with the municipalities must be able to say, in our organogram, we need to have a person that is focusing on sporting facilities. And this is the person that will link with sports and recreation regarding matters relating to norms and standards and the kind of basic sporting facility that you require at a particular municipality. I've said that it is not only about sports and recreation. I was in a municipality, the only sector in our environment that is really supporting municipalities in terms of its sector responsibility defined in the framework of DORA is water and sanitation. But even water and sanitation, there was one area where there was a project that was put out of a big amount, if you know Nandoni there. When they wanted to commission that dam, I was working in a municipality, we reticulated villages around that area. But when they commissioned, they realized that the pipes that were buried there were not steel pipes, they were PVC pipes. And then I said to them, but you guys have got serious engineers. Why didn't they see that this is not the correct pipe? Because it therefore meant that the reticulation that was done was not going to be functional. That is why if you look at the medium-term strategic report in terms of outcome 9, you will find that we say water and sanitation in terms of access is 94%, but when it comes to functionality, it's 64%. That is because of those that kind of difference. Now, the issue of sufficient spending, we have got not less than 15 grants that are flowing to municipalities, direct or indirect. MIG is the best in terms of performance on spending. But the issue is that are we getting value for our money? That is the critical issue. And for us to be able to get value for our money, it is the responsibility of all the sectors that have contributed their share in the MIG to define their norms and standards, to monitor the norms and standards. I can give you a simple example. Our responsibility on pre-implementation is to register projects. But we can't register exporting facilities if we don't have a technical report from sports and recreation, because sports and recreation must come and define to say, look, this project that this municipality wants here, if in terms of the norms and standards that we have defined, it will cover the basic level of this 40 facility and this level, and then register the project for implementation and funding. That is our rule. So all these issues of sector roles and responsibilities are covered in the division of revenue in terms of the framework that we put towards the division of revenue. The other issue, Honorable Malatsi, is the issue of confirming backlogs, because what we require is each sector must confirm the backlog per area, per what. As we are sitting here, it is only one sector that has defined the backlog per what per village in the 27 districts, and that is water and sanitation. We have said to all the sectors that are participating here, because it's not only sports that was raising this matter to say, look, we want to pull out. Environment has been saying the same thing. Social development on early childhood development facilities has been saying the same thing. But as a coordinating department, we say, come in and perform your roles and responsibilities as defined within the division of revenue. So the issue of backlog is the issue that we really want. The last comment that I want to have regarding Honorable Malatsi is the question of police coherence. As an official, I need to implement, if you say you have taken a decision about 15%, I need to implement that. But you see, we have a MIG framework that does not define the 15%. The Standing Committee on Appropriations defines 15%. Mpumalanga talks about 100% going to water and sanitation. Now, I'm sitting at a national level, I've got three policy intention. As an official, where must I go and account? When I go to Mpumalanga, they will say, hey, when I go back, I come here, you say, hey, you're not focusing on the 15% that has been defined in the DORA to focus on force. So that is the kind of policy coherence that as officials will require. So, Honorable Chair, it is my view that this matter, that's why I said it is a complex matter for an official like me who needs to implement. What do I implement? I need to have consistency in terms of implementing a particular policy intention framework. Honorable Abraham, the issue of ID participation. When we talk about IDP participation, there is an issue of the balance between the needs and the necessity. Now, you find that communities are raising a lot of things. And when you go to the budgeting of a municipality, you then say, okay, fine, in the pot we have 500 projects that have been raised by communities. But the budget can only cover 50 projects, for instance. And those 50 projects will be put in the Service Department Budget Implementation Plan of the municipality. That is the document that will define that for this facility we have a budget, for this activity we have a budget, for this activity we have a budget. The rest of the other things will be there in the IDP. Now, here is the question where I find that there is no coherence between policy and implementation. go to these communities, they say for the next 5 years, these are the 500 projects that we require. Now you say to a municipality, your IDP is a credible IDP. Now, in the middle of that IDP, there is a decision by the standing committee or the portfolio committee that you need to reinvent the system, the P component, to only 14 facilities. And in the IDP of municipalities, they have identified other priorities. How do we balance that? So it's the issue of the needs and the necessity. Honorable Jomo, I've talked about the multi-purpose Tucson Service Center's issues, and my sense is that it's a question of the effectiveness of those particular facilities and who should come in to participate at the level of planning so that we get those things. One thing that I don't have an answer on is this sports for schools. It is outside the, in my view, it's outside the mandate of the NEEC. I thought that one is partly funded through the Department of Education, Basic Education. Honorable Moshi, the question of sector departments to be established in municipalities, I want to believe that you are referring to a situation where you say in a municipality we have a replica of a department that is a sector, like do we have a sports department, do we have a water and sanitation department, do we have that is an issue that needs to be raised as we standardize and institutionalize the organogram of a municipality. Now, I work in a municipality. When I arrived in a municipality, it was a district municipality. There was nobody focusing on sports. And then I said, I want somebody to focus on sports. I got one person to focus on sports. And then the first question that he asked me, he said, what is it that I must do, because I'm at a district level. I said, you are going to facilitate that all the local municipalities must have a sporting official, and when you sit, you need to be discussing all the different codes in this area and what kind of facilities will be required for this particular code to be looked at. Now, different provinces have got different views around sporting codes. I mean, if you go to Limpopo and you talk rugby, Honorable Malatsi, you know, there won't be anybody interested in rugby. But if you go to Eastern Cape and you talk rugby, you know, they've got that passion for rugby. So those kind of things need to be brought in by this sector-specific department, either in the form of a representative or in the form of each municipality having those kind of things that are there. But it's also determined by what we call the powers and functions of a municipality. If the powers and functions of a municipality are not really focusing on those things, you will find that quite a number of people are on the side. I think water and sanitation was had an advantage because they had people there that they transferred to these municipalities to focus on the water business, unlike sports and the recreation and other sectors like environment. The issue around the location of the facilities, we have our GIS capability. We are just raised with them, is responsible for that subunit, that look, we've got two systems in the department. We've got one that is called the MIG MIS system that should be able to give us the location. For us, it's not only about the location. It's also about how do you deal with prioritization that will not be informed by how strong a counselor is, but it will be informed by the need. Because you might find that as I'm sitting in a council, I'm very dominant. I'm actually saying to people, this must go there. But if you put it in a map at a municipal station, but your area is already having this facility, you will be able to budget for other areas, because when you are in a municipal space, you are responsible for the totality of that municipal space. I think we may be able to indicate, especially if the committee is saying we are going to the province and we have this maps of where the facilities are, and I suppose you might have those coordinates. The issue of MIG 2 and the clarity around USDG, I think it touched on it. The issue of the infrastructure development grants, MIG initially was MIG City, which was transferred to human settlement, form part of the USDG. The reason was that our MIG was only going to focus on rural municipalities, and some of the secondary cities will have to integrate the issue around your human settlement development grants from the department and the connector services for those housing that are, the houses that are being developed, because in that time you find that the Department of Human Settlement is putting a housing development in this area, but the municipality has not budgeted for connector services, and MIG treaties were meant to deal with that. So the USDG is in fact MIG cities, but in the review of the grants, there is such talk that you integrate that and you create a relationship between USDG and Human Settlement Development Grant. If it is approved, then that will be clarified. Honorable Manana, the issue of B2B, B2B is a method of doing things. In what we are talking about here, we are also talking about B2B. If we say, where is the basic sporting facility in a municipal space or in a ward? That's back to basics. But that basic facility should be maintained to a particular level. So anything that you do in B2B, if you look at the framework of B2B, we focused on those things that we were saying, if you do these things, then the municipality is going to research to be operating maximally. The minister talks about the robots, fixing of the potholes and all those kind of things. And one day I was just joking with the minister. I said, no, I come from a rural village. There's no robots. There's no tar roads. So in my village, it's only potholes, because in fact, there's no tar road. So he said, hey, you must look at other districts like your sporting facilities. Are they having the basic amenities? You might find that if it's a soccer field, they don't even have a net. You see? So those are some of the basics that we are saying. Back to basics is the manner in which you look at a particular space and say, what are the basic things that need to be done? There is also a question as to how do we often meet with the Department of Sports and Recreation. The last week, every quarter, we bring in all the vectors that are contributing to the MIG to say, look, this is what's happening. What is your take? The last one was on the 28th and 29th last week. We will look at these matters at that particular level. But with regards to sports and recreation, I engaged with the DG. And I said, DG, I looked at this decision and I'm finding it very difficult because municipalities are not implementing this decision of 15%. Then I went through this process that we presented on that side, which was indicating that we were saying, in its initial state, the key component was meant for those amenities, not only for sporting amenities. And I said, if we go back to that decision that we engaged before the decision of the core, you will find that we said, at the time, sports and recreation only contributed 3%. But let's give it 5% of the 15%, so that the other 5% will go to early childhood development facilities, and the other will go to others, meaning your community halls, your citizen service centers. And he said, is that what you were discussing with my officials? I said, that is exactly what we were discussing with your officials. He said, send me that document. I emailed him the document, and I sent him an SMS. I said, come back to me so that we can discuss this seriously, because you will have that kind of amount there. The issue of councillors' passion for sports, Honorable Marana, it's a very complex one. You know, most of the people in rural areas, when you talk sports, they think you're talking talk. They don't think about other sporting amenities. One time when we were debating in the Lukuta with your DG, and I was saying to him,
you think you can go to Mutare and put a swimming pool
where there's no water? People will remember, these people are mad. They put a swimming pool, but there's no water.
You can put poles for netball, not only soccer. In my rural area, you can put poles for netball. For netball.
No, I was just talking about the sport, the pool in an area where there's no water. For instance, if you take the whole of Frisbee, there's no underground water. And there is a provincial decision in the Free State to say, look, in sanitation, we only want flush toilets. We don't want VIPs. I don't know the honorable. I didn't hear any honorable from Free State here, whether they are aware of that. Honorable Raleigh Homa. Honorable Raleigh Homa, on the issue of auditing the facilities. We are saying this is what sports and recreation, in terms of roles and responsibility, must do. Because after auditing, then we determine the backlogs. When we have determined the backlogs, in our engagement with municipalities, we can say, look, guys, yeah, this is what we require. You know, Free State, if you look at the statistics, is the only province that came nearer to 14% in the medium term. They went to 14%, right? So that it is an issue. Then you wanted the clarity whether the 15% is reserved for sports or whether it is still utilized for the component. The decision that was taken by the Appropriations Committee was that the total 15% must go to sporting facilities and not to any other facilities. After that decision was taken, I was called to the Appropriation Committee. I said to the chair, I think this decision is wrong. And he said, illustrate why you say the decision is wrong. I said, the key component has got various sectors that have contributed to it. That's number one. Now, if you say the totality of it must go to sporting facilities, ECD will come and say, bring our percentage that we have contributed there. And when we remove that percentage, it means the key component will not remain with 15% because you contributed 3%. I said, secondly, you are introducing it in the middle of the implementation of an IDP. Now, municipalities have already decided where they are being. What will you do if they don't do those things? And if we make the rules hard and fast, it means we are going to impact on other priorities of government where we talk about clean audit. Because the Auditor General will come and say, I'm auditing. Why didn't you use the 15% to sporting facilities? Then it means all the municipalities in the country, if you look at the statistics, will not get a state audit. So those are some of the policy coherence issues that I've been talking about. I've talked about the Evanset settlement grant. And finally, Honorable Chair, when you were making your input, I just decided that let me give you the last issue which has a serious impact on this. The first thing is the issue of powers and functions. The second is the issue of underfunded and unfunded mandates. Now, I'm saying this because you can, in terms of the Constitution, take that portion of sports back to sports. Now, when you build the sporting facility, there is no capacity at the level of the province to really maintain that sporting facility. And the municipality will say, but this is an unfunded mandate, an underfunded mandate. And then that is when Salga will come in and say, why are you bringing in all these functions that are not funded? So that is in conclusion, Chair, and I hope I was trying to cover the suppose that I've noted the names correctly, and if I have not, I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. I wanted to respond on the last input, but let me give you first. Thank you. That is the
Moshe, we thank you for acknowledging us. But our main reason for coming to the meeting was to listen and get the context of where the committee is coming from, and also be able to communicate that to the relevant officials in the Treasury as well as the Minister. All safe to say for now that the conditional grant that is being referred to, it was proposed with all the good intentions. And of course there are issues that are being raised, and I'm sure if the committee would want to invite the Treasury officially, we would welcome that invitation and make the presentation. Also responding to issues that have been raised. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. The committee was having an intention to invite Treasure, but we have said before, let's invite the other stakeholders. Thank you for coming and listening, because we need, at the end, we need to sit down with Treasure and put our side of story, and I'm suspecting the advice that today we're getting, except that others are subject to it discussing that maybe we don't have blood chance. Because if we're going to say capacity in provinces, capacity in local government, who's going to have the capacity? We ended up not doing anything. If we're saying powers and functions, it's well and good, but immediately that we cannot transfer money to other departments or part of a sphere of government because of the capacity, which means we are not governing. If local government doesn't have capacity, provincial government doesn't have capacity, is it right that it's only a national that can have a capacity of what three spheres of government? I'm suspecting what Mr. Ngido was saying, that they've been having a workshop with this department, but it doesn't tell us what they've done, the decision of those, workshops, because as we're speaking, there are new things that were happening from their side. I even consulted with my whip and the said, hey, we were supposed to call even our department to be part of this meeting, because now we'll sit with the department on the 1st of September. They will be putting their own stories, because we'll report whenever we're having a meeting with sister departments. We need to tell them the findings. So it's going to be a something that is going to be a long consultation, but it's necessary. We need to hear if they do have workshops, but what we're discussing in those workshops, if today we're hearing that glaring gap between these sister departments, that's the problem. That's why we're here, Tina, we're doing our own oversight. But when we are listening, sometimes the departments, they do sign MOUs 2010, 2011, 2015. When you call them here, they will tell us that we signed MOUs, but nothing happened. And maybe now, but when they will be coming us, oh, we did have a workshop and we're taking a decision. The problem with our government is implementation. There are so many good policy, and there are so many decisions that are taken, but not implemented. By who? Who's supposed to implement what? We need now to pull up our socks, all of us. If we had, we called in meetings, seeking workshops, using the money, and go back home, and come 3 years down the line, nothing has happened. I'm saying that this information, in fact, information is a power. ethics department to cover open our eyes and arm the us in order that even to our department we must report what we have said and we must seek clarity. But the reality is that whenever you are contributing, Mr. Kitch, you don't come near to this 15%, we say 3%, 2%. So until then that we must have a session of all of us to understand where is this 15% is going, what was the initial aim to give sport and education 15%. But whenever we're talking, we don't come nearer to this 50%. And that's the problem that the treasurer was having. If anyone can convince that, no, it's not 50% that we have been located, it's 5%, we must understand, but not in the policy documents that image has been given. We don't have any problem with the other USDGs. We know those grants, what the only grant that has a problem is 15%, but as I'm sitting here, I don't get where this 15% is located, and I'm here, we're from some provinces that we've used 1%, and some provinces have used 3%, some 2%, but as you are here for 5 years, we'll be learning, we are in learning curve as the new committee, but we want to understand what is going on with this 15%, because we are not yet convinced that 15% is doing what was aimed to do. I've seen your hand, Honorable Malazi, and then I put it at home.
Thanks, Chair. I just have one follow-up. I just want to acknowledge that this is a very honest presentation, in both acknowledging what limitations are and sharing information on the complexities that are there. And Mrs. Gidi, this is for you, because, I mean, you know, when you explained the structural complexities that are there, and some of it, you know, relating to policy coherence, I understood it far better because it has implementation capacities. And I just want you to shed light on what you think can be done differently to unblock the blockages that are there because of the status quo, both from the angles of the various sectors that are there, you know, both from local government in terms of the knowledge that you now have in, you know, assessment of these complexities, and two, on what would help the Department of Sports and Recreation in getting, you know, the intended goal, because this 15% will ultimately, you know, benefit the state of sports and recreation in the country.
Any other follow-up, Dr. Rahum?
No, I think we have to engage seriously with the various federations, because I think there is a serious gap as well from their side, because most of the time they say they've got structures even at the level of municipality ward. I mean, if that was the case, I mean, those people that are there at ward level are the ones that must raise pertinent issues through budgeting processes, that the sport must be taken seriously and facilities should be provided. So I think it is an area that we must have to begin advocating seriously with our interaction with the various federations. Thank you.
You want to respond in that minute?
I can take it offline if you like, or I can respond now. Because,
respond now, then.
Chair, perhaps what, before I go straight to his question, is your question, which is seeking clarity. The clarity is, the framework is very simple in terms of appointing to the draw. It says, ring-fence the whole of the 15% to sporting facilities. That we are not even arguing. We are not arguing that. The argument is the practicality of implementation. That is what I was indicating in the long story. What I think, and this is just my thinking,
besides some of the recommendations that have been made by the presenter in terms of institutional arrangement, what I think should be done differently is to improve, firstly, the level of engagement of various federations at the planning stage, and to get these federations to understand how much has been given to a municipality, how much has been allocated, and what is the 15% of what has been allocated. That is on the level of the federation. On the level of sports and recreation, it is improving the communication in terms of the norms and standards for various basic sporting facilities at a municipal stage, and check whether the 15%, because currently what I'm working with is the 15%, whether the 15% will cater for that facility, because in some other instances you might find that the facility may require let's say 1.5 million and you only have 500,000 in terms of the 15% based on the allocation in that space. So we need to have those two engaging in that particular way. So the COPTA should also improve, because in all these engagements that we have with sectors, I have not seen some of the sectors at a level that they should be seen participating. And when it comes to the issues of sport, for instance, we just rehash on those things. I saw the DG of Environment when he was asking about all the transfer stations and landfill sites. I said, but you are participating fully in this meeting. How would municipalities be thinking about cleaning your environment if you are participating fully? Because they will also say, we want our money back. And then it will reduce the issue of the purpose of this integration. So those for me are the two issues that I think, in fact three, that we need all the federations, 14 plus federations, to participate at the playing level and be able to be active and say, guys, our 15% is 1 million. We want to see the project that will be related to that 15%. Sports and recreation to then communicate their norms and standards and say sporting facilities that are at this basic level, if it is a tennis court, it will cost you 500,000 at this level, and that money you have you take. For me, those are the responsibilities that I think we need to allow these sectors to perform, because they are defined in the framework for the DORA. They are defined specifically, but they are not really coming to the party on those things. That is in short, but I will accept any advice from the committee as we are engaging with this particular process going forward.
You took quite some time to explain your difficulty around the 15%, which is part of the P component. The decision or policy decision of what is this appropriation committee, that is what you were saying. I understand that. But practically, there is no 15%. In terms of your presentation there, there is no 15% that you can point out that this is for sports. It's not there. In fact, what is there is 5% for the sports component, not 15%. In terms of your explanations that you've been explaining, because it's also linked with what you were saying, the practicality of implementing it, in terms of the inputs from municipalities and the other sectors that have got the respect interest in the 50%. Because the 50% is not only 15% of in terms of their own presentation. I mean, the example that you used was 7 point something billion. and then you showed the 15%, that is 5%, because the 7 point something billion was for everything, the P component of it. So I thought maybe...
I know, because you see, once you leave, so we've been running to nowhere, changing something that is not there. So I don't want you to leave the room to continue changing something that is not there. Because so far I think we've been changing something that is not there.
Honorable members, my feeling when I was saying that I'm hearing about 3 and 2%, I'm suspecting that mistake it said to me they don't doubt about your influence of the 15%. But is the monitoring and coherence of our policies. I don't know whether I'm wrong when I'm saying honorable members. I want an advice from you that Ukopta and OEE department to sport and recreation can't be part of the workshop that they must take us to. Is it expensive or I'm out of order? That if I can propose, because as I'm sitting here, if on the 1st of September we have a meeting with our department, No, I will give it you back that you must reach, but I'm saying that as you are getting the responses, I'm suspecting, I'm taking that a role of a special tool department, that the engagement is not yet for us clearly. And when Ukopa is going to leave us, and our department is going to be with us, they will put their own story, and what are we going to left with Tina as a committee doing oversight? That's why I'm saying, in my understanding, can't we have a workshop, because they were having workshop, but seemingly there are no results of those workshops that they were doing. They are still now having this problem. And I do understand that the officials, when they are saying that policy is not about themselves, it's about of coastal health. And I want my committee members to comment on what I'm saying, because I'm suspecting that we are not happy about this 15% explanation until the other department must be with us. The engagement of two departments in order that we must... I did get what you're saying, but when we look at the implementation, it's not there. And in the... Honorable Tutu, Honorable Maras, Honorable Mushi.
Thank you, sir. I just want to get to the point of Honorable Ralhuma. This key component, I think I misunderstood, unless Mr. Sigidi, Honorable Sigidi, I can see the breakup here on the this component. The fourth, as the Honorable Ralhuma was saying, is only the 5%. This other 5%, it goes to social, I think ECD goes to social development, if I'm not mistaken. So, of which means sports and recreation doesn't have the MIG 15%. It only have 5%, is my understanding, in this component here. Because the 5% is for sports, and the other 5% is for ECD, the other 5% is for other, which I'm not sure with about this other. That's why my argument is that I don't understand it very well. I think I must just get it here of 15% to 5%.
Honorable Chair, can I ask that we push slide number 12 there so that...
Before that, if we have that, they must always
Honorable Malazi.
Thanks. Make my input in light of what you suggested regarding the worship, and I think while it could be, it will definitely be valuable, I think it also comes in the sequence of it, and it might be useful to also have tertiary prior to that, so that while we go into it, we have met key stakeholders, and that we can engage them substantially, also based on the interactions we've had with them.
Thank you. Honorable Mission. Okay. The slide must go on the board.
Slide 12. Yeah, slide 12. Honorable Chair, this is what we were saying before the decision of the Appropriations Committee. We have been engaging with the Department of Sports. Firstly, we said we are recognizing that municipalities are not prioritizing sporting facilities. So in our engagement, we then said we are proposing that the P component, because remember the P component was not broken down into saying because sports contributed 3% in the initial stages, then 3% will go to sports. It was just general, depending on the priorities that will be done by municipalities. Now, we said our proposal, if you look at that level, it says key component, and then it says the split on the mix is 15%. And that 15% in the medium-term expenditure framework becomes 7 billion. So that amount before the decision of the Appropriations Committee was in the P component, which meant you can talk about sporting facilities, community halls, cemeteries, two home service centers, yeah, there. And we were saying, because we are recognizing sports, we want to split it into this proposal. That was our proposal to the department before the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Then our proposal was that of the 15%, 5%, which becomes 33%, must go to sporting facilities only. And then another 5% must go to early childhood development. And another 5% must go to your to some centers and everything else. This is what we presented to the department. And then the department says,
in order that you must follow you, you proposed to the department, what did they say on your proposal?
When we were still proposing this, we then heard that there is a meeting that has taken a decision, which was the Appropriations Committee. I was informed by Treasury to say the Appropriations Committee is saying we need, they wanted to approve the DORA. We are putting the 50% and we are, it has to be reinforced for sports. After that decision, Treasury approved the division of revenue. Now, when Treasury approved the division of revenue, what is left for us is to implement the decision. Then the Appropriations Committee called me in. It was after the approval of the DORA. Then they asked me, this is what we have taken a decision on. How practical is it? Then I explained what the key component was standing for and the kind of practical implementation challenges that we will face. But because the decision was taken and is already in the division of revenue, I can't say, and they could not reverse that decision, because if they wanted to reverse the decision, it was supposed to have been reversed in the following financial year, which was not done. So this is not, we are just informing the committee about our initial proposal to the department. But it doesn't mean, in fact, what we are saying to the committee is to say, look, if we look at the current framework in the DORA, in the MCF, municipalities were supposed to be utilizing 7 billion for sporting facilities, not 2 billion, because the 2 billion was our suggestion, which was not in the division of revenue. That is why I was talking about policy coherence, because we have that decision standing.
And as the department, when we want to influence municipalities to follow the decision, other provinces say, no, we are taking the whole of the MIG to water and sanitation. Our MIG framework does not have these things. So those are policy instruments that we are utilizing, which are not coherent. So this is just what we're just showing you that.
Let's agree amongst ourselves that we call our department and we call our treasurer. Thanks for the clarity. This document wanted to confuse us, and we don't want to be confused with a presentation that it does open our other mind. And this comprehension, this answer, is putting us in a way that really we must do our oversight. If as a committee we don't do the oversight role, we'll have these things that are not clarified to us as a committee. Tina, as a committee, we don't have any favor. If our department is not doing APC, they must do. If COPS is not doing APC, they must do it. And Utezara must come to our rescue. What is their understanding? I'm suspecting that cause was set after we've called the COPSA, our department, and then Utezara. That still stands. And after those meetings is when we're saying that, do we need this workshop or not? That's the thing. I'm closing this meeting by saying, another motion. Not say something. It's an issue that is for the nation. I cannot not allow anyone still want to say. I was thinking that I'm rounding up, but if any member still want to say something, open police.
No, thank you, Dr. Sen. In your traffic, it's not a different issue. It's right on the issue that you speak about it. As we invite the department and the treasury, I think COPTA as well should be part of the meeting. Yeah.
I'm sure he is assisting us, because you see today we invited the COPTA and COPTA put their own stories and actually on paper, and each department has been giving us, telling us why do we want to reference, and we Tina saying that we do say, Tina, we came to this committee with a new committee members, but our cry is the transformation in rural areas, let alone urban areas. And then that transformation, when we're looking at meat, almost all are belonging to rural areas. And when we're doing the oversight, we've seen horrible things. Until now, 21 years down the line, there's nothing happening in rural areas. Let alone that, we do stay in urban areas with our kids, but meat is responsible, especially if we have meat grant that we have local government today. That's why Ushalga, we did call them, they put their story. And we cannot, as this commissioner, Ushalga, he must not be there. Ushalga is there, and we'll engage with them also after interaction. This is 5-year term, all of us. I'm suspecting ending of that 5 year, we need to have a mark to change what is. It's very impossible. Together we can do more. With those words, thank you for information. And if there anyone, I'm closing members, they do it, let's stick to this document. If any other invitation, if it's not what is here, we must put questions, but we are not here to compete. Any department must not compete. We want it deliverables to the people. Thank you. With those words, we are closing this meeting, saying that it was very fruitful. Each department is just entering when we're finishing Utabo. We needed you most, because this department was putting side of story and the gaps between quarter and each department. But it is now 17 years. thanks so much to the encourage and also to you, Finance. You see how important that you were part of us, and we are hoping for the best that will solve this problem amicably in order that our people, they must get what is due for themselves. Maybe you can even, these things reduce even as don't all that are so many, if some of the things we can take. Thank you very much. You should eat. Lele.
Honorable members, let's finish our meeting. Honorable members, minutes. Have you read our minutes? Page 1, 23 June, page 2, 3,
page 4. Page 5. Page 7. Page 8. And move up. Another approach.
I move to the minutes of the second session.
And second. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. And the last page, page 4. Move on.
I move the adoption of the second set.
I second the
I did put time frames.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything.
Okay.
Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Which means don't have much of us with now others. I don't see any hand. I don't see any hand.
I thought they differed on the proposal that we made, because we made that made two main proposals. One was to pursue those that were not green, that we felt that they must still be pursued. But we felt that we need to proceed with the interviews of those that are asking.
Okay.
In the meantime, yeah.
Okay.
People concerned have all been telephoned, and we are awaiting a quotation to get the travel arrangements in place. We have immediately contacted State Security Agency and the people for fingerprinting, and that office said they will complete the fingerprinting process as soon as possible. So everything is, they said it should not take long. We will, the interviews will, application will be processed as soon as we get our quotation, which we will chase up again today. We have been chasing up every day.
Fine, honorable members, relate. Thank you so much. Is anything on the agenda? Nothing, eh? Relate. Thank you, honorable government.
So, sorry, we only have matters arising on the second one, not the first set of minutes.
Of 28th?
Yeah,
we
are
ready for 23rd, yeah. Okay. Let's go to that page 1. Thank you for that. Page 2. Page 3 and page 4. Honorable,
Chair, because this gentleman had an opportunity to address us, I think it's important that we just follow up with NSA South Africa to find out how, you know, what's transpired since that engagement.
Honourable members, I even sent an email during the weekend to address to me. I couldn't respond because we did give some members and official responsibilities to take care of that. What is not you, Mpumzi, and who is that member? On the guy of Italy when they were here.
It was me, sir. I spoke to the deputy president of International Western Cape. They were to hold the tournament in Pinelands, where they were going to invite me and probably introduce me to the lady that they had spoken about, and that's Young Chair, because they wanted to incorporate him into their structures. But since then, he didn't. He didn't, because we were communicating with emails. Since then, he didn't. And unfortunately, I'm staying in Pinelands. I drive past that tennis court every day. So, I might reignite those talks, I think, with him.
Can you extend your mandate to call them? Umulela must print out that email which is addressed to me. But you were not alone. There was a member also. Who was that member? Malad. I will ask Umulela to do a follow-up on, to give you the printout of the email that he did send me during the weekend. We're from Kenish and then to the, what you call, to the oversight. It was not possible, both of you, that you must have an engagement with them. But let's start it again. My executive PA must give both of you that email that he emailed. Thank you so much. The members, with that note, I've seen in my emails that we've got emails from the submission. Why are you laughing? We need to reread those submissions, especially Honorable Bachman. They've put everything that it was discussed in there. So I'm suspecting that we have taken a brilliant decision not to engage with that, because we're at court or whatever. And then that information is with us as a committee, and then let's read in order that in the next meeting we must say something. It must be put on the agenda. Yeah. The office must prepare a report, and we must read those documents that were sent to us, and then we must start to the engagement with it. With those words, it's our month, and I'm just flying down there. Thank you. King is close, honorable member.
Thank you. Thank you.